Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Thursday, July 7th, 2016, and this is episode 109 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host today, Chad King, and I'm joined by two people today. First, let's welcome back the long-lost Ben Lee. Ben, how you doing?
You know, the worst thing is, you said that it's episode 109, and now all I can think of is an old McCovey Chronicles joke where everybody asked what Zito's pitch count was. And everyone said 109 at the exact same time, so it just became a meme for the next, like, 5 years. So the answer to, like, what's for dinner? The answer was 109 for a long time. That's all I got.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
All right.
I'm a little crackly this morning, but
no problem.
I'm super down to talk baseball.
No problem. You got your beauty sleep. Let me put it that way. You're ready to talk baseball.
Slept a little soundly after the Cueto game last night. That is accurate.
That is very true. Okay, and then joining us from 3 hours in the future is Eric Nathanson. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in air conditioning. It's flipping hot down here in Florida right now, and I'm glad that I can hide in the air conditioning and talk baseball because, yeah, you walk outside and you melt right now.
Because it's sweaty.
Coming to you from the future.
It's horrible. It's like walking through water.
Well, Ben, you live in the city, and you went to the game last night, and I went to the game the night before, but, you know, I live in Gilroy, and, you know, it's ass crack
hot here.
For you,
it was actually a change.
Yeah, I mean, it's been milder lately in the 80s, but I mean, it's often in the 90s and the 100s. But I also work in Monterey, much like San Francisco. The microclimates are incredible here in the Bay Area. I mean, in my 45-50 minute drive, I can go from, you know, from Monterey, let's say it's a high of 59 and cloudy, cold, everyone's got jackets on. I get home, it's 100. I mean, there's easily can be a 40 to 45 degree swing on the most extreme days. But you don't get that in Florida, do you there, Eric?
Obviously.
No.
Yeah,
it's
always 109 here.
It's 109. It's 109 degrees. And
we didn't drop below 80 overnight.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but it's funny you say that. I watch the games, and you guys say you were there the last two nights, and I see people bundled up.
Oh, it's been
like
cold.
Everybody seems to be chilly. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, when I first went out there, I expected that. It's cold at the ballpark.
Yeah, well, this is the time of year
four layers.
You walk around any coastal town in Central California, but, you know, the tourist towns, Monterey and San Francisco primarily, and you can spot all the tourists because they always have Monterey or San Francisco sweatshirts on, but they're still wearing shorts and flip-flops.
That they just bought at the Walgreens.
Exactly.
Because it is freezing.
They come to California thinking
California.
That it's going to be 80 degrees
California
at the beach.
Summer.
Yeah, and it's like,
you're
oh,
in the wrong
no.
half of California for that. I'm sorry.
The nicest weather here along the coast anyway is September and October. That's when you need to come here. Best
weather. Oh, yeah.
But,
the games are gorgeous in September or October. But the game was still gorgeous last night. It was just the kind of gorgeous you need, like a cap and four layers of clothing and like long socks and...
Yeah, who was it? Was it, I can't remember. It wasn't Mark Twain, was it? Who said the coldest winter they ever spent was a summer in San Francisco?
Everybody credits it to Mark Twain. It's not, I don't actually know who said it.
Okay, but yeah, something like that. Some old guy said it a long time ago, so.
Nice. Some smart person wrote about San Francisco.
Well, the Giants, they are not cold right now. They're actually doing fairly
well.
Just one part. We can deal with
that. Just like yesterday, the only thing that was really particularly chilly was my hands. Only one part of the Giants is cold at the moment, and everything else is doing okay and keeping warm.
I wanted to
it's
make
healthy
sure.
Way to be.
Absolutely. You just have to amputate one body part. You're ahead of the game.
We're not at frostbite levels yet. It's
not
okay.
quite yet. It's getting there. It's starting to change colors.
That's what Corey Guerin was for. Now we might be moving into frostbite.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, the mysterious DL stint he's going to have here. But yeah, if you follow the Giants fans on Twitter, at least a lot of them that I follow, you wouldn't think that this team has the best record in all of baseball. And I wanted to make sure we got an episode in at least the one day they have the best record in baseball. Because this could be the only day.
Because the Cubs lost to the Reds yesterday, didn't they? That was
yes. Yeah, this is the first time all season anybody but the Cubs has had the best record in baseball, I think.
And it took the Reds to do it. Thanks, Adam Duvall.
Yeah,
you're still doing good for us. And you're in the All-Star game.
Ugh. Anyway.
Adam Duvall in the All-Star game. I don't think anybody in the Giants saw that coming.
Never saw that
ago,
coming.
But it's nice.
But
good
it's
for
nice.
Him, though.
Yeah,
good for him.
But yeah, I mean, we're almost at the break here. This will probably be our last podcast before the All-Star break. So it's a good, I think, reflection point in the season. But Ben, what do you think? I mean, there might be an obvious answer, but I don't think it's the full answer. But what do you think the top maybe two or three keys to success for this team have been so far? I'm sure the bullpen is number one.
Do you want me to start with the obvious one? Okay, yeah, bullpen is the obvious one. So there it is. The thing is, I think it's going to come down to, I think Bobby Evans is going to be one of the keys in this case, because you're seeing the bench get really rapidly depleted, obviously. You know, people are out here and there, and even though they're still holding it together, you're getting really great surprises like Grant Green. It's one of those things where just the right piece or just the right move could really help the team solidify up. And so usually you think that one of the keys is going to be the way that the players are playing, but I think that one of the keys in this case is going to be Bobby Evans trying to figure out how to either replenish that bullpen or bring in someone that can help keep the offense moving a little more smoothly, that's going to be able to kind of keep everything going. And if you have to look at one, right now, obviously, everyone is going to be looking reliever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that one of the keys is going to be the offseason move. I think one of the others, though, is actually, and I hate saying this, but it's going to be don't rush the guys who are hurt. I think that because the team is holding it together right now, and because you're still seeing, even though the problem is the bullpen is trending downward, and that's making things look a lot worse than they are, the offense is still moving. The fielding hasn't necessarily gotten much worse, especially with guys like Mac Williamson and Wright making circus catches all the time. So the key, I think, is going to be making sure you don't rush somebody back sooner than they're ready and ending up losing them again for the rest of the season. We're not desperate to get Hunter back, although, you know, it's we're hurting a little without him. We're not desperate to get anybody else back necessarily. But, you know, like if Panic's got a concussion, you know how long those can take. Don't rush him and screw him up in the future just to try and get, you know, a squeeze in now when we've got, like, serviceable, we're going to make it in the meantime options. The goal isn't necessarily to have the best record in baseball. Was to win the NL West. So that's me. Don't rush guys, Bobby Evans, and obviously bullpen. I could say that for 30 minutes and it would be a solid podcast.
That'd be
Giants
solid.
Commentary right
and
now.
We could do an entire podcast on the bullpen right now,
just
probably.
On the bullpen. We could just say the word bullpen in a row for 30 minutes and we'd have made, you know, salient Giants commentary.
Yeah.
Yes, but then we would all be crying afterwards.
What about
true.
You,
let's talk about something.
So
someone
well,
else.
It's funny because the things that you mentioned with not rushing the guys back from injuries is part of what I think is the key to where they are now. The Giants have depth all of a sudden. And guys like you said, Mac and Parker, they're stepping up. Trevor Brown's been a solid backup as the catcher, which allows other things to happen. Pena,
they have
Grant
infield depth. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, Connor Gillespie has made himself a player, I think, that, you know, could play every day if he needed to at this point in the season. He's been able to get the bat on the ball pretty good. It's Adrianza and Tomlinson were the backup infielders, and now it's Gillespie and start, right, and Grant Green and Tejada. Ruben Tejada. Who the ever thought that
Ruben Tejada.
You know?
I was actually looking at the team last night, and everybody's like, I don't know half the names on this list. I looked back, and I was like, Tejada was hot shit with the Mets for like 4 years, man.
Yeah, he was the one that got broken in the Utley slide.
Yeah.
But that's what's really kept them going is the depth and the fact that starting pitching really hasn't suffered injuries.
Yeah.
Bum and Quay every, you know, five days.
Well.
Yeah, PV Kane's the only one, and he's supposed to be back after the All-Star break. And even then, Suarez did a good job stepping in and starting for him. He left with the lead in five of his six starts. Now the Giants lost four of his six starts, but he left with the lead in five of his six starts.
Yeah.
So he was doing his job. So I think depth has really put them in this position that they're at. It's really that and the fact that Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford, I think, have really carried the team.
Banner years for both of them, for sure.
Yeah. They really are standing out to me as keys to the Giants and their success right now.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys, like you said, you know, Tejada and Pena and Green and Gillespie and Parker and Williamson. I mean, this is insane. I mean, this is the Sacramento River Cats playing for San Francisco right now. Mm-hmm. It really is, but they're performing.
This is Giants. This is what we like to call even year bullshit.
Even year bullshit, yeah. And Pena's hitting 400. Green's at 320, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, these, and Gillespie, you know, he's at 267, but I think he's been hitting over 400 the last couple of weeks because he was way down in the low 200s, below 200 before that. So, and he's got 86 at bats, so he's starting to get a healthy number. You know, Parker's 258 at 97 at bats with five bombs. I mean, these guys are performing admirably well. But like you said, we cannot rush the starters back because, you know, the fingers are in the, oh boy, that's not a good analogy.
stop right there.
Stop right there. The tape is on the, never mind. They're holding together very well.
They started the year with four outfielders.
Yeah.
You remember, it was just Pence, Pagan, Span, and Blanco. That was the whole outfield. Yeah. Tomlinson was the extra outfielder, and it was him and Adrianza as the backup infielders. So they've had to, like, go through extra guys over the guys that have gotten hurt, you know?
Yeah, it's backup for backups right now. And I don't think that these guys necessarily can hold up for an entire season, nor do they need to. But since they are filling in the gaps right now and doing it very, very well, you just kind of ride this out. Uh-huh. You ride it out until these guys you know are healthy, you know are going to come back without immediately having a setback, especially with Panic's concussion. We saw what happened with Belt last year. You know,
and it keeps your plans a little smoother than suddenly having to change things at the last minute because, whoops, you know, setback. Like, it's not going to do us any good to have guys come back for all of, like, 10 minutes, get themselves hurt, and then end up going again.
And these guys are getting valuable experience, too, which is only going to help them down the road, especially when they're assumedly called back up in September when they expand the rosters. These guys will be back.
Almost certainly.
There might not be room for some of these guys because of the 40-man roster.
Because of the 40-man roster,
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, true. Pena might because of that. Tejada?
Who'd we have to 60-day to get these guys up? We had a 60-day a couple of people, right? So we have at least... I assume that we... I mean, did we outright anybody? I feel like we cut at least one person. I know Jake...
Yeah, they did. They
picked up by the Padres.
That's who it was. Stratton? No.
So anyway, I mean,
Chris Heston, he's the one that ended up going to the 60-day DL.
Okay, so if Heston is healthy by the end of the year, then we might have to worry about losing one off the 40-man. But I'm not sure that it's going to be bad enough to lose too many of these guys. Now, the question, though, is obviously if anybody gets, you know, do people make moves in the offseason? Like, are we going to pick up a free agent outfielder? Oh, my God, we're fine on outfielders. We have so many outfielders.
Mac.
Reliever, or are we going to have Mac? Is it not great to see Mac playing this well?
Oh, I love him.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. When everybody comes back?
Next year, Mac Williamson should be the starting left fielder. Angel Pagan is going to stay out there because Bochy loves his veterans, and until Angel breaks himself again or misses another pop-up. I mean, seriously, it's like he's flipping blind.
You know, He's got Kevin Nash hamstrings at this point. Yeah.
And Jake Peavy's eyes.
Sorry, I'm just imagining Jake Peavy's eyes turning and looking at Angel Pagan's hamstrings and Angel Pagan falling over. That's not how that was supposed to work in my head.
But you mentioned, and all these guys will come back and be fresh, like Pence, like Panic. Like Tomlinson as a backup, like Adrianza even possibly as a backup, they'll all come back and be fresh towards the end of the season. And that's kind of like a trade bullpen is where you still have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the 40 man is going to be a concern too for anybody else you bring in because of that exactly. Because it's weird having this much potential depth to bring up, like guys will get rested in September and so on. But anyway, that might be putting the cart before the horse. But it's absolutely true. The depth has gotten is crazy on this team right now. Like looking at how many people we've had to pull up, and the fact that we're still kind of at least treading water, if not better.
Oh, they're doing
and
better.
It's definitely the offense isn't the problem.
Yeah, they're doing better. And then what? We got the All-Star game now coming up, and what, the Giants had three guys voted in and belts on the final ballot. How'd you guys feel about Bum, Cueto, and Posey getting the vote in, but Belt being on the final ballot and no Crawford?
Yeah, no doubt those three deserved it. Was really, really surprised about Crawford and Belt. I thought one of the two would make it. Maybe not both. You know, there's limited room. I get it. But was really surprised
having,
by that.
They're having crazy seasons, though. I mean,
yeah, I think, unfortunately, the vote for Addison Russell. Really screwed everything up. Because Corey Seager is very deserving. I don't have any problem with that. But, yeah, Addison Russell, he's hitting .242. You know, this is just what happens when a team is on a hot streak and their fans mobilize. The Giants have done it, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, we've been on the other side of that. So, yeah, you know, I can't really be
I feel
upset
like
about
we
it per se.
Yeah.
And the Cubs absolutely have things to be happy about. That's, you know, that's how things, like, I mean, we've seen this before with somebody getting in, like a first baseman who was terrible getting into the All-Star game because the votes pushed him there. It's going to happen again. It'll happen in the future as long as there's a voting system. And if Addison Russell is in there because Addison Russell at defense and everything else is contributing to the Cubs staying almost on top of the division until today, then so be it. You know,
I just have to say
the part
Cubs
of this is a fan popularity vote.
It is. And that's the mixed message I think Major League Baseball is sending to everyone, to both the fans, but also the players themselves. On one hand, they say, hey, fans, you get to vote for whoever you want. And, you know, whoever's the most popular is going to start because it's your game. But to the players, yeah, fuck you. This is going to count for home field advantage in the World Series. Don't screw it up.
Right.
I mean, I've never liked this whole, this time it counts.
No.
You know, that tagline that first year they put it in. You know, it's like, well, how can you say it counts? Because I was in the press box on Tuesday night. And I was sitting next to Ryan Leong again, and we were talking about the All-Star game, and he hates it too. I said, think about this. If you were really trying to win the game, and you started a Clayton Kershaw, or a Johnny Cueto, or Madison Bumgarner, or whomever.
Why would you not run them for, like, you know, 9 innings?
Why would you pitch them 2 innings?
Right.
That makes no sense. So if you're supposed to manage to win, you would actually use fewer players than what they end up doing, but they have to balance trying to win the game with also trying to get everyone in the game.
So Addison Russell after the first inning. As soon as this turn comes up.
Yeah, well,
no,
it's funny because
weird.
Craw doesn't even have a chance to get in because Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals just got replaced by Diaz, the shortstop of the Cardinals. Right, because the Cardinals only had him on the roster, and they need to keep their one representative. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely no shot for Crawford at this point, which I think is good because he has played the most games and probably the most innings this season of any Giants player. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind seeing Brandon Crawford break. I honestly don't mind it if Belt loses the final vote and he gets a break too. Those two guys have been the horses. They've played 83 games each.
Yeah.
84.
Yeah, I think
a lot.
Games each. Look at that.
I went
the two most played appearances. Yeah.
I went in the club. It was really strange because I totally forgot that the All-Star selections were being announced on Tuesday evening. And so I got to the park early and went in the clubhouse to try and snag some interviews. And I happened to come in, and I mean, usually there's like two or three reporters in there. There were like 20 reporters in there. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Well, everybody was watching the All-Star selections. And then immediately going to the players and asking them questions about, you know, how'd you feel about this and what about that? So it was strange to actually watch the players watch the TV and react to certain things. You could just see some body language. Crawford mm-hmm. did not, let's just say he didn't react strongly because he's just a calm, quiet guy.
He's just the most mellow dude ever.
So
right.
He was hard to read, but I mean, he didn't like throw his cleats or anything.
Right.
But you know, well, they went over and asked him, and yeah, he's like, hey, you know, it's All-Star game. It's whatever. It's disappointing, but you know, it is what it is. So.
And it's not like the first thing we expected from Crow was to be pissed about an All-Star selection.
Yeah, could you imagine?
This doesn't jive with what we know about him.
I wonder what his arguments with his wife are like.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of upset. And, I mean, I feel like any baseball player or athlete is going to get a little bit fiery, but like, just Crawford just seems like much less.
Yeah, just much less on a couple logarithmic scales.
The quietest. But
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Eric. It's not the worst thing in the world to not have a couple of your infielders, especially Belt, who's subject to so many injuries all the time, just his klutziness in general.
I mean, you know that somehow one of the other All-Stars would manage to hit Belt in the head with an errant throw during fielding.
Yeah, something like that would happen. You know?
It'd probably be a Dodger. I don't know.
And Crawford might be too distracting to the fans with his flocks of, you know, hair flowing in the wind.
Yeah, we're already doing them a favor by not sending Angel Pagan, so.
Yeah.
Doing them a favor?
Yeah, because Angel Pagan is going to distract everyone. Have you seen those smoky eyes?
Yeah, no kidding.
So.
Wait, you know, it was pointed out the other day, Buster, when he takes off his helmet, his hair is, like, in place all the time. When he's behind the plate, he rips off that thing, and his hair is, like, in place. And people are starting to be like, how does he get that? Like, I think that they've got this whole secret, like, hair
club.
Yeah,
they were talking about that this morning on KNBR, and it's totally true. I mean, he's wearing a helmet the entire game,
yeah,
right? He rarely wears a hat. He's wearing a catcher helmet or a batter's helmet, and every time he takes it off in between innings, his hair is, like, perfectly coiffed. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Aquanet.
He's a real superhero.
He is. He's like one of those Lego guys with a snap-on hairpiece, you know? Like, it's just perfect.
Plastic toupee. Oh.
No, it's funny. Pagan, he's an interesting fellow. You see him get into that scoff with Hundley the other night?
Oh, with Hundley?
I still don't know what it was about. Some fans were writing in about they were reading lips and it was all Hundley, but Bochy, he didn't know. He said, I honestly don't know what happened between the two of them. But he kind of just chalked
it
off
to,
like,
I think happened?
Pagan is just, he's that guy, right? I mean, there was the gum incident with Norris and there were other issues like that. He's just a fiery guy.
Hundley was probably yapping at him, and Pagan was tired of it, and then the bench was getting on him. The Rockies bench was getting on him. And then after he struck out, Hundley still yapped some more, and Angel decided to turn around and scream at him when he should have just gone back to the dugout.
Yeah.
You struck out. You know what I mean? Like, you lost.
And dropped his helmet. He swung so hard.
Right. He looked foolish.
He did.
Just go back to the dugout. You know, it's not a place for that. I hate when he does that crap.
Yeah, no, I know. But, you know, on the field for batting practice, I was trying to take some pictures, and I was up there on the warning track, and he comes waltzing by, and he just stops right in front of me, drops down his helmet and his bat, and he starts playing with his batting gloves, and it's just like he's 1 foot away from me. I'm like, why are you standing right here? I'm not by anyone, right? And then he just kind of goes, hey, how you doing today? How's that? Doing well. How about yourself? He's all, pretty good. Picks up his bat and walks off. I was like, what was that?
That is exactly how I picture him.
That is like, that is pretty much mental Pagan image in a nutshell.
I he has all this room, right? There's no reason to walk up to this random media guy, but he just drops his stuff and he's, I don't know. It's just odd behavior. It didn't make sense to me. I was like, what, do you want to chat? What do you want to do here? Interesting guy.
She's trying to give you a better angle.
Yeah, I know. He's like, what do you think about my hair? No.
Are you taking photos yet? You could take more photos.
I don't know. I don't know if he was, like, baiting me to, like, ask him questions or have a conversation with him or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that might almost be... You might almost be ascribing too much intention to it. I don't know.
Well, no. I mean, if he was just doing that, that's fine. But it was just the fact that he made it over to me... dropped his stuff, and there's, like, so much room everywhere, right?
I feel like it's related, but I feel like almost you might be putting too much intention behind it, where it's just like, hey, let me parade in front of this dude real quick.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know how you go in the bathroom?
Let me show off how cool and chill I am after that last debacle.
It's like when you go into the bathroom, and there's, like, six urinals, and you're the only one there, and then one guy comes in, and he goes to the urinal right by you. You're just kind of like,
wait.
Okay. But, interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Could have left one in between, but all right, that's fine. Tuesday night, though, it was interesting because Bumgarner was cruising. He was pitching well.
Yeah.
And in the bottom of the sixth inning, we were chatting about it, me and Ryan, and Kontos had been up in the pen almost the entire inning. And Bum was on deck, and of course, who was it ahead of him? It's Gillespie or whomever, drew a walk. And it was interesting because we were having this conversation. And I said, well, if Gillespie gets on with two outs, I don't think he's going to pinch hit for him because there's two outs, right? But if he's going to hit Bum, I know he didn't use a DH when he pitched in Oakland, but if he if he lets Bum hit, he's only at 96 pitches. He's got to let him pitch next inning. And Ryan actually was spot on, and I was surprised because I've never seen this happen all season. And Ryan said, nah, I think he'll let him hit because he'll figure, well, he's the best shot the bench has for running into one.
Yep.
And then pull him anyway. Because Kontos was still throwing. And I said, you're right. Kontos is still throwing when Bum was going up. And I was like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. So he strikes out.
Committed at that point, yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same thought. I even said it to Karen here before it happened. I said, Kontos is coming in next inning. And here's the other thing. Had Gillespie or whoever it was gotten a double or a triple, I think Bum would have been pinch hit for. And they would have put Tejada at the plate.
Yeah.
Yes, they would have just needed a base hit. But because it was just a guy on first, he sent Bum up there because he's the one who's more likely to shoot a gap or put it over the fence.
Yeah, he has more power than most of the bench.
Than literally anybody else who was on the bench that night.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the decision process was. Now, it was just interesting because the press box, everybody was like, you just heard whispers. Even Marty Lurie was behind us to the right a little bit. And he goes, oh, this is interesting. And he was looking it up. He's like, Bum hasn't pitched less than 100 pitches in like 13 consecutive starts. He's like, I don't know. He's like, the way the pen's been going right now, you know, you're kind of you're setting yourself up as a manager where if you let Bum pitch, if you let Bum pitch and he gets into trouble, no one's going to crucify him, right? Because he was at 96 pitches. He always goes over 100.
And because he knows that he's kind of getting leaned on. Right now.
Yeah, and if he pulls him, though, and he puts the pen in and they blow it, then everybody's going to come down on him. Now, I know Bochy's not concerned about what the media thinks. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, and his post-game answers were pretty standard. You know, people were like, well, why'd you pull him? He was only at 96. And he's like, we've been riding him pretty hard. And, you know, he's going to pitch again before the All-Star break. So he's not going to have a normal All-Star break where it's extended rest. He's going to be on normal rest throughout the entire break. So he doesn't get a big break like all the other pitchers. So he said, yeah, we've been leaning on him hard and we need him down the stretch. So, yeah, I just decided to pull him then, and that's it. That's my decision, and it didn't work out. But that being said, I mean, I know it's an accumulation of innings, but one extra inning or a couple extra batters, I'm just surprised. I'm still surprised he didn't let him start the inning. If he gets into trouble and one runner gets on right away, boom, you pull him, right? But it was just the way it worked out. I was a little hesitant. And then, of course, Kontos comes in, single, fly out. Then Javi comes in for the strikeout. And you're like, oh, they might get out of this. And then they had that chopper off of Guerin that Gillespie couldn't handle. Well, he handled it, but he threw and pulled Belt off the bag. And then, of course, the hanging slider to Arenado sealed the deal. And the whole it was just amazing to look around and everybody in the press box was like, fingers on keyboard. It's just one of those moments.
Everybody had to rewrite the game story.
Yeah. And you know, it's tough because the bullpen was not horrible before 3 weeks ago. It was okay.
No.
But this stretch to the last two or three weeks has been horrendous. They've blown six saves in their last nine games before last night, because, of course, that was a complete game. They've blown 17 saves this year, which ties the Reds for the most in the league. That doesn't mean they've lost all 17 games. They've actually won 8 of those, or 8-9. But if they're closer to the average of maybe 10 or 11 blown saves, you might figure that's probably another 3 wins in that ballpark. So they have a 6-game lead on the Dodgers right now. There's every possibility if this bullpen had been performing as average as it had been before, they could have a 9 or 10 game lead on the Dodgers right now. And all that being said, they still have the best record in the majors. So, you know, this is crying about little small things. I get it. But what are they going to do about the pen down the stretch? Because, you know, Corey Guerin is on the DL with shoulder soreness. They talked about just resting him a few days or through the break, but they decided to shut him down for 2 weeks. You know, there's a lot of talk about going after a reliever before the trade deadline. That's not going to be cheap. So my worry is they bring someone in and they sell the farm for it. Now, I don't know if I want to see that. I actually do think they need some help, but I don't think they need an Andrew Miller or, you know, or a Aroldis Chapman or someone, some superstar to solidify their pen, because it's not just one guy that's faltering, right? So you can bring in one superstar. It's going to help. But if the Corey Guerins and George Kontos still can't not hang sliders, then you're not going to do much better. The whole team needs to get better.
Some of it is on Bochy, though, because I think he's horribly mismanaging the bullpen this year. For some reason, he feels the need to go lefty, righty, and bring everybody into every freaking game. I don't understand if he's going to pull the starter after six innings. Say PV goes six strong and he leaves and the Giants have a 5-2 lead. I don't know why he doesn't just throw Derek Law in the seventh, Sergio Romo in the eighth, and Santiago Casilla in the ninth. They seem to be their three best guys. And then if things go haywire, you start, you know, bringing in guys. But there's nobody that seems to have any defined roles in this bullpen. He seems to just go on a whim. And I don't think it's helping the psyche of the bullpen pitchers either, because Bochy doesn't, you know, it's predictable, but it's not, because he doesn't have a, you know, like Derek Law is getting lost. Why isn't he getting more work? When his sinker is on, it's just, oof, and he can get that ball up there fast. But for some reason, like, he'll disappear for 5 days and Bochy won't pitch him. And he'll keep going to Contos and Strickland. Mm-hmm. And he needs to stop going to Strickland.
Oh, man, he was batting practice on Tuesday. Holy moly.
Everything.
That was awful.
Are we finally seeing sort of the twisting side of Bochy being the player's manager kind of guy, or like,
well,
do you think it's something else?
It's weird because, like Chad just said, they have the best record in baseball. So it's picking at the little. I think Bochy's just, he's overmanaging, but then he does things like pull Bumgarner and take the heat for it, which is actually, you know, being a great manager. Because like Chad said, you know, if he had left Bum in, you know, nobody would have faulted him. But since he took him out, he knew it was a, you know, a sink or swim situation. I don't know. I think Bochy, I don't know if he's just happy to be walking out there 18 times. It's tough to tell. But they're not performing either. And that's why he has to keep going back out there and try to figure out what the right combination is.
There were some telling comments, you know, afterwards. Bochy's really good answering questions. He never gets too annoyed. I mean, he has the Bochy stare and the Bochy grumbles, but, you know, he doesn't attack anyone. He doesn't patronize anyone. He still answers the question. You can see some linings in certain emotions, but, you know, he said, look, you know, things haven't worked out and we have, you know, used different players in different spots. But he said, bottom line, it's inconsistencies. And this is the big quote I thought. He said that no one's grabbing the mantle. It wasn't those weren't the exact words, but basically you're saying no one's staking their claim. No one's stepping up. Everyone's failing no matter who he puts in. And the next day he said, yeah, him and Gardy and Rags and a couple of relievers got together in an office and talked about shuffling the deck and trying guys in different spots. So I think that's what they're going to do, Eric. I think they're just going to start mixing it up because it's not working right now. And they need a mental break, but it's also probably mentally taxing on these guys because now they don't know when they're going to be used and they may get out of their comfort zone and that could negatively affect performance. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. They're not going to be this bad for the next 3 or 4 weeks. I think this is just a really downturn in their cycle, but
it's just when they're bad like this, you got to do something to shake it up, and we're just not seeing that yet. And that's really going to be the key. It's like, what do they do to try and get things moving again in that bullpen?
I also think it's a result not having guys like Pence and stuff like that in the lineup, because the Giants aren't scoring as many runs, so the bullpen is put in a few more of these positions.
Right, you're not taking it out of their hands, so to speak.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're still 20-10 in one-run games, and I think that's still the most win. Yeah. Right. So it's really there's a few more times, because I was just looking at the other one. They've won, like, a bunch of games of 5-plus runs or 4-plus runs. So the offense is not, you know, taking it out of their hands at all. And like you said, Bochy said nobody's jumping at the mantle or grab whatever it is. 14-6 in blowouts. Nobody's grabbing the hold of their role, and somebody has to do that.
Yeah, and Casilla, I don't know what he's been doing in the ninth inning. Even his last couple of saves have been just hold on tight, buckle up. I mean, some of them have been like, you know, first and third with nobody.
We're not talking like Brian Wilson level, but or
right.
I don't know.
I mean, they are kind of Brian Wilson.
They are kind of. Lately, they have been
the
Brian
recent
level.
Ones.
Yeah.
Where it's not 1-2-3 Casilla, you know. It's no. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
it's been pretty bad.
I know we're winding up. I'd like to go ahead and relate one fun moment from last night's game.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not even baseball related, because to be honest, the crowd was kind of mellow. It was, it was a Wednesday night. People were there and they were having some fun, but it was a lot more of the social baseball crowd up until, I mean, that Posey home run was loud. And sure. the ninth inning was thunderous, considering how few people were left. When everybody realized that Cueto was coming back out, like, things went off, as they say. But one of the biggest highlights for me of last night was that Pokemon Go actually dropped on the App Store while we were at the park, or like right before.
Oh yeah!
And so you could see everybody sitting in the crowd in between innings, getting their accounts set up, me included, and like all of a sudden, like everybody's like turning around, like looking at each other, and somebody, one of my friends next to me, like found one while we were sitting in the stands, taps it, and then everybody behind them all of a sudden is just like, yeah, go on, get him, get him, get him, get him. it was really great. Just like not being at home and going, oh, I think I'll just load up Pokemon Go. Now that's new. But like in the middle of the Giants game at the ballpark, and like a bunch of fired up sports fans already behind you, watching you try and throw Pokeballs at a Pidgey that's on your screen in augmented reality, going, get him, yeah, get him, get him, yeah. My friend next to me was like, I feel really good about this. It was really great. And so,
oh, man.
Giants fans, we're all giant nerds. It's great.
So many of us are. I know I am. I love my games and everything like that. In fact, me and my kids are starting a YouTube channel, so look for that soon.
Oh, this is coming.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming.
You've talked about this before.
Oh yeah. Now we've got the artwork and the music, and it's gonna look slick at launch, but who knows about content?
Right. I don't know. Mine is incredibly likable. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it'll look like a nice car with no engine. Yeah,
She's gonna start asking for costumes next. You gotta watch out.
That's true. She's pretty good. I got the green screen up in the office, and so I put her image in the bottom. You know, the floating head in the bottom of the game that they're playing. So there's no square behind them. But and she's great. My son, not so much, but he's young, so we're going to work on that. oh, yeah, one more thing about the game. When we went down to interview Bumgarner, you know, they come out and they put him on the little platform. And, oh, my God, it was so funny. There was totally the elephant in the room about him pitching longer. And, you know, he gets up there and everybody's quiet. So someone goes, so, hey, how about that catch by Mac and Wright? You know, like, oh yeah, that was you know, he disappeared in there, and I thought, I was just hoping it would go foul, but he slid and he made the catch, and it was great, and yeah, no, it was a fantastic play, and it saved three runs, so yeah. So what'd you think about the weather tonight? Well, it was cold, and you know, it was like five questions in of these little ancillary bullshit questions until finally someone had
the
cojones. Yeah, it said, so could you have pitched longer? And I mean, freaking death stare. Like, it was. This
like,
is why
he didn't
no one,
know it was coming, though.
Yeah,
like,
I know. He didn't know, of course. And he paused a good 2 to 3 seconds, stared right through the reporter's soul, and said, I would never tell you if I could or could not pitch longer. And that was it. And it was like, damn!
I think that's why everybody danced around it, because, you know, most of the regulars know Bum's not going to answer a question like that.
No.
He's just never going to betray Bochy. He's never going to betray the confidence of any teammate or coach. He's
just that guy. He's either going to step on his manager's toes, or he's going to signal to the opposition that he was tired and that maybe he has a stamina problem. So either way, he cannot answer either way. So yeah,
that's how he feels.
And that's why he said, I would never tell you if I could or could not go longer. And it was like, yep, there it is. Sweet. Anyway, that was fun. So yeah, we got to wrap this up here. But coming up, we got three against Arizona that got an off day today. So they'll hold the best record in baseball for about 24 hours at least, which is kind of cool.
Well, maybe the Cubs play tonight.
We'll see. Maybe 24
hours. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, maybe tied for.
And they'll
the
be
Cubs
in
have, the Cubs
first
have two
place
rainouts
at the break,
to deal
right?
With. I mean,
that's a guarantee.
I think they, yeah, they have to at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Less than
six
five games
up.
Left.
Yep.
Yeah, they're six up with three left.
There you go. So that's nice. That's really nice.
And Dodgers have winners. Four in San Diego. Dodgers have four at home against San Diego.
So Eric, you tweeted out yesterday that you're standing firm, or that 94 win prediction was looking pretty good. And then I looked at the math and realized, even to hit that pretty lofty goal, because what did I say? Did I say 92 or 93? I have to look back at the notes, but I was similar to you. They would only have to go 40-35 the rest of the way, which that's pretty remarkable. You know, even if they go 500, they're going to have more than 90 wins.
Yes.
Which that should be enough for minimum wild card, and it could be enough for the West. We don't know yet, but
it could. It's going to depend on the moves towards the end of the season, I think.
But that's pretty remarkable.
I think they're going to run away with it. I think this is going to be like 2012. It's going to be wrapped up early. I think the Giants are going to run away with
it. It's funny, in 2014, they had as much as a 9-game lead, and of course they lost by, 8 games?
Yeah.
To LA, but of course we all know what happened. Didn't matter.
Right.
They still marched through. So, you know, something like that still could happen this year. I mean, hopefully not, but it could. But I think the Giants are almost a lock. I think they're something like 80-something percent on the RPI board for making the playoffs. They're pretty high up there. So they got to really tremendously fall on their face to not make the playoffs. And they have, hopefully, their starters coming back here, trickling back in over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. And hopefully they'll be at full strength with the reserves coming up in September. But that'll about do it for episode 109 of the TorchaCast. You can check out our website, TorchaCast.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at TorchaCast. You can also follow us individually. I'm at ChadK21. Ben's at Fried Duck.
All right.
And Eric is at 2OutHits with the number 2. And you really don't have to follow Willie Dills at this point. He won't notice.
How many has he got now?
I don't know. He's got like 12,000 or something. If you guys don't know, he does a bunch of gaming crap, but yeah.
Yeah, I hit 1,000 and I got happy. Then I looked at Willie's.
Yeah, and you go, wah, wah. Uh-huh. So I'm hoping to be at the game on Sunday night for Sunday Night Baseball, where Bum throws again. And I was going to reach out to you, Ben, to see if you wanted to come so we can talk offline. But look for coverage of the game on Sunday. And, of course, the All-Star game is on Tuesday night. So for me, for Eric, and for Ben, we're signing off episode 109. We'll see you next time.
Squirtle, I choose you.
Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchaCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchaCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchaCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.